By a show of hands, how many of you were in last Sunday morning's church service? By a show of hands, how many of you were in last Sunday morning's church service? I challenged you last Sunday morning. I asked you a question. I said, where will you be next Sunday morning? And guess what? You're here. Good job. Way to go. And I appreciate you being here in this Sunday morning's worship service. But let me ask another question. By another show of hands, how many of you attended another service that you don't normally attend last week? And I'm saying you either came back to our Sunday evening service, maybe you came back to the Wednesday night Bible study, maybe you were in life group this morning, or maybe you attended some other activity this past week at the church, and just by a show of hands, you'd say, yes, I attended an additional service that I don't normally attend last week, and I got some hands across the building today. And so thank you so much for doing that. I greatly appreciate that. And again, I challenged you last Sunday morning to honestly be faithful to attend church, be faithful to be involved, be faithful to be a part of everything that we're doing. And so many of you did that. I saw an increase in our Sunday night attendance last week. I saw an increase in our Wednesday night attendance. And despite the rain, a great attendance this morning. And so thank you so much. Isn't it amazing, you know, how you'll be tempted and how you'll be tried a little bit when you make a decision? As we were pulling the parking lot this morning, I told my wife, I said, you know, hey, no greater temptation to whether or not somebody's going to come to church than to pouring down rain and cold weather, but you made it, and I'm so glad that you did today. Well, I want to continue this morning in my New Year's teaching series entitled Habits, these small disciplines that are hopefully going to produce some big results. And last Sunday, I asked you a question, where are you going to be next Sunday today? And the title of my message to you this morning is much like the question from last Sunday. It's another question. And I'm going to be asking you again for next Sunday, but instead, not just where you're going to be, because I know you're going to be in church, Lord willing, next Sunday. Amen? Amen. Amen. Good. But I'm going to ask you this question. What are you going to be doing next Sunday? What are you going to be doing next Sunday? I'll invite you to take your Bibles and go with me to John chapter 13 for just a moment. As we go to John chapter 13, we'll be there in just a few moments. But I want to add to my testimony from last week, if I could. Last week, I shared with you a little bit of my testimony, and I said to you that much of my spiritual development and my spiritual journey can be traced back, honestly, to me just being faithful to attend every church service and activity that I possibly could right after I got saved as a teenager. Well, if I could add to that this morning, I will say to you that much of my spiritual development and much of my spiritual journey can not only be traced back to me faithfully attending church services, but I will also add to that today and say to you that I got involved in everything that I possibly could get involved in. And then in addition to that, I began to serve in every capacity that I possibly could do. As a teenager, as a young adult, as a married adult, I began to serve in whatever capacity that I might be able to find. And so as you think about it for just a moment, the idea of attending church, the idea of getting involved, the idea of serving, as many of you have made New Year's resolutions, it's the idea of not only dieting, but also adding exercise to it. And so it's not just being at church, and that's a huge step in the right direction, but it's also adding an involvement, adding a service, getting involved, getting your hands dirty, so to speak, rubbing shoulders with someone, getting to know other people than just the people that might be sitting on the pew with you today. And so as we do that today, we're talking about habits. We're talking about disciplines. And just by definition, a habit or a discipline is this training that you're doing, and you're doing that expecting a certain character, or you're trying to produce a certain character, or you're trying to develop some kind of a ritual, in the sense of a habit development, of a performance toward a right direction. Now, we know this, that really there's not much anything significant in our lives, whether that be an education, whether that be a diet, whether that be just your own spiritual development, that's really going to have lasting results unless it's going to be tied to some kind of a habit or some kind of a discipline. Now, when we talk about spiritual disciplines, we're looking back to these patterns of devotion, these habits of devotion that we find in Scripture that enables us to grow spiritually. Now, if I can help you diet and exercise, I may not be the best person to do that, but I'll try to help you in doing so. By the way, you know, I mentioned to you about temptation, you know, coming to church, you make a decision to come to church and it's raining the next Sunday. Some of you have done the diet and exercise New Year's resolution. I'm watching a basketball game yesterday afternoon and there's a restaurant commercial that comes on and it's advertising. It says, many of you did a New Year's resolution, and then the screen goes black. And then it says, this commercial is not for you. And it's introducing this maple bacon chicken sandwich with a croissant on the top of it. And I'm thinking, man, that looks really, really good. You know, it's full of carbs. It's full of calories. It's full of deliciousness. Amen. And so I understand that when we make decisions to follow the Lord and we step out and say, I'm going to start this habit, I'm going to start this discipline, that temptation is going to be before us. We're going to be challenged with that. And some of you have seen that even this particular week. But when we're talking about these spiritual disciplines, that's what we're trying to develop even in our lives today. And so today I want to talk to you on the subject of serving. Serving. Last week was church attendance. Today I'm talking to you about serving. And by serving, I'm saying to you, you utilizing your talents, your abilities, your spiritual gift or gifts that God has given to you, and you're doing it in such a way that you're showing love back to God, you're showing love to other people, and God is using you to carry out the ministry that He's called us to be able to do. You've got your Bibles open in John chapter 13. And in John chapter 13, we see the very inspiring story, and we read the very inspiring words of what Jesus did to show His men, to show His disciples, what it really means to be a humble servant there before them. Again, I'm asking you the question today, what are you going to be doing next Sunday? And we're talking about this subject matter of serving, being all in, being involved, getting involved in doing something with your faith for the Lord and for others. Now, there's several aspects in this text today that talk to us about what serving is all about. And the first thing that we want to note this morning is that serving makes us to be more like Jesus. Serving makes us to be more like Jesus. You have your Bible in front of you now. And so let's begin reading. John chapter 13, begin reading with me in verse number 1. We'll go down to verse number 5. The Bible says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and He was going back to God, He rose from supper, He laid aside His outer garments, and taking a towel, and He tied it around His waist. Then He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around Him. Now, the disciples, I think, must have been in shock to see what their master was doing. It was customary at that time. They walked a lot. There were sandals. It was a dirty path. It was dirt. It was sometimes mud, sometimes the clay, sometimes their feet got very dirty as they walked from place to place. And so as it was customary, if someone entered into a home, there would be a servant of the home that would come along and would just kind of clean up the feet, just kind of wash the guest feet to welcome them into the home, to kind of clean them up from their travels and to invite them into kind of a clean environment as much as possible into the home. And so a servant was to be one that was to carry out that particular job, and certainly not a guest, and certainly not an important guest, and certainly not the Lord Jesus Christ in doing what He did. The disciples were puzzled. They were shocked. They could not believe what was taking place. It was a menial task, but Jesus thought it was so important to teach His disciples something about humility and something about service. One writer said that Jesus certainly was the sovereign of all, but yet He became a servant to His dear friends. He holds the whole world in His hands, even as we sang about today, and yet He took the towel and He took the basin and He knelt down before His friends. The writer also continues to say that he is the Lord of all. He is the master of all. And yet he served his followers. Jesus did not have to do that to prove who he was or to prove what he was doing for his friends. But he wanted to show them in true humility and a visual illustration of what it means to really be a servant. Not just from the outside, but from the inside out, from the heart of the matter of understanding his love for them. And so that evening, Jesus gave them an unforgettable lesson of what humility and service was. And truthfully, he was really demonstrating to them in a great and a mighty way what was going to take place in a very short time. Now, Jesus bowed himself before his men and before his followers and before his disciples, and he served them and he washed their feet. And in just a few days, what's about to take place? Jesus is going to die for the sins of the world, and he's going to lay his body down, and he's going to take on your sin and my sin and the sins of all the world to die on the cross so that salvation could be provided for mankind. And so this simple illustration of washing feet was a greater symbolic illustration of Jesus giving himself so that others could be saved and that others could be freed from the bondage of sin. I don't know about you today, but I'm glad to be free from the bondage of sin. Amen. And I'm thankful for what Jesus has done for me. You know, when we're willing to humble ourselves, when we're willing to use our talents and our abilities in service of the Lord, when we're willing to work and help others and show others, you know what we're doing? We're showing ourselves to be like Christ. And the more that we humble ourselves in service, and the more that we're willing to serve, and the more that we're willing to be used of God, and the more that we're willing to work, the more that we're willing to show ourselves to be just like Christ. Unfortunately, today there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians today especially, that they only want to serve the Lord in some kind of a counseling or a consultant kind of manner. They want to be an advisory person to the Lord and kind of saying what should be done in the church, and this is how Christianity should be operating. You know, some people like to sit back and watch, and some people like to be armchair quarterbacks when it comes to the church and when it comes to what the church ought to be doing, and especially the local church. And there's no shortage of people that I promise you, and I'm saying this as your pastor, and I'm saying this on behalf of a lot of other pastors around the country. There's no shortage of people that will come tell you what they like and what they don't like and what ought to be doing and what they ought not to be doing. That always happens. But I always find it to be interesting, too, that those who come to you and want to dump the problems in front of you are not usually the ones that's willing to kind of roll up their sleeves and be involved and help solve the problem or be involved in making things better. And so that's why if you come to me or you ask me something, I'll make sure that I'll be more than happy to listen to what you have to say and try to understand where you might be coming from. And then I promise you, I'm going to make you part of the solution, and I'm going to ask you to get involved and be a part of helping make things better. So before you come to unload, be careful, because I'm going to unload back and tell you that you're going to be a part of the solution. Amen? And that's the way it should be. And we're all in this together. And I understand that some things people don't like. I understand that some things are uncomfortable for people. I get that. I do. But I also understand that God gives us leadership and God gives us wisdom and direction to move forward. And as God does that, then we're to be moving forward according to as God leads us on a regular basis. And so there's a lot of people today, and sometimes they don't come talk to the pastors. You know who they talk to? They talk to their spouses. They talk to their kids. They talk to the people at work and say, well, I'm going to tell you, at my church, we just don't do that. Well, I'm going to tell you, my church, I can't stand when we do this. Well, can I say something to you real quick? Not only are you hurting our church, you're hurting the cause of Christ when you do that. You really are. Get involved. Be a part of the change. Be a part of making things better in that kind of sense. And as we understand that, then we understand that God has called us and gifted us to be able to be used in different capacities across the ministry. It's been said that there are three kinds of Christians that exist in every church. There's a rowboat Christian, and they kind of have to be pushed and prodded and dragged along to get to where they need to be. There's some sailboat Christians, and they always kind of go with the wind. Wherever the wind's blowing, this group's talking, and wherever the wind's blowing, this group's talking, that's kind of where they fall. But then there's some steamboat Christians. They make up their mind, this is where we're going, and we're charging full steam ahead. Well, I want a church full of steamboat Christians, amen? I want us to be involved in the work of God. I want us to be serving. I want us to be active. I want us to be exciting. I want you to go and take the baby bottles and put change in it, and put dollar bills in it. I want us to make more than $2,000 than we did last year. Be involved in some kind of capacity, because I promise you what's going to happen is you're going to develop some habits and some disciplines that's going to enable you to grow, that's going to enable others to come to Christ, and is going to be able to have the cause of Christ increased in your family, in this community, and I believe in even around the world. And so if you're saved this morning, then you're saved to serve the Lord God. You're not saved to sit, you're saved to serve. And as we understand that, you call yourself a Christian, there should be something inside of you that says, you know what, I want to get involved, I want to be a part, I want to be serving in some capacity, whatever that might be. Here on campus, and I'm sure this is the way it is at your work, but we have a network of computers. And these network of computers enable us to be able to function on a weekly basis through Gateway Christian Academy and through Gateway Church here. And those computer networking that's done is only as good as the servers. And the servers enable all the computers to be able to talk to each other, to be able to communicate one with another, and so that they're kind of all on the same page. And so no matter what building that you might be in, or what you might be working on, you'll be able to kind of network from computer to computer, and that server enables that to be able to take place. And so really, our capacity to be productive is really tied to the direct capacity of the servers. And some of you have been at work, and you've gotten a note, or there's been something that's been passed along to you, and you said, oh man, the computers are down because our server is down. Well, that's the reason why. The server keeps everybody connected and keeps everybody talking on the same page. Well, I believe that God has a network of ministry that He wants us to be able to put together. Whether you're a man or a woman or a teenage boy or a teenage girl or a senior adult, whatever it might be, whatever experiences you might have, whatever education that you might have, whatever talents and abilities that you might have, I believe that God wants a network of ministry to take place, and He allows that network of ministry to take place in our church and in churches just like ours across the world because of a network of servers, you and me, that enable us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. As we went through our Bible study to end last year on Wednesday night, on Wednesday evening of last year, we talked about that horizontal Jesus being the hands and feet of Jesus. Well, serving God enables us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to share the gospel, to impact others, to love on others, to counsel with them, to help them in the trials and the tribulations that they're going through. And so be a server, be that server. And when we're serving, what are we doing? We're being more like Christ than when we're not serving. Now, let me just say this before I kind of move on to the next point. The foundation for any serving, the foundation for any ministry work, the foundation for you getting involved is not me pushing you to do it. It's not me shaming you into doing it. It's not you just being guilty and saying, well, I guess I need to. The foundation of all of our service is our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I serve today because He saved me, and I love Him, and I want to be used of Him. That's the foundation of all service. And so that foundation provides the very motivation that you and I must have. And so in return, what do? We want to give Him all of our lives in love and devotion. But there's a problem that we run into, that we find people not serving. And one of the reasons why we find people not serving, truthfully, is because people have genuinely never been saved, and people aren't genuinely devoted to living for God. I was at a conference a few years back and heard a pastor speak, and he said, we need to stop beating our head in church services trying to get people to do this and trying to get people to do that, and we've got to come to the realization that we're preaching to people that we thought were saved, but they're really not. He said, what's he talking about? Because I believe if you're saved and you love the Lord and you appreciate your salvation, you by your nature will want to give back. And so if people aren't wanting to give back, if people are wanting to be sponges and consume all rather than being contributors, then what you're finding is that people have a heart problem. And so this pastor goes on to say, listen, instead of begging people to serve, you need to get them saved and preach salvation to them and get their hearts right. And then when their hearts are right, then they'll gladly serve and be a part. And so when that happens, then you begin to see exactly how God has designed things even for us. And so Are you on Jesus' team? I'll be able to define even beyond the amen. I appreciate the amen. If you ask me if I'm on Jesus' team, I'm saying amen to that. Yes, I am. But if I looked at your service, could I tell you that, could you be defined to being on Jesus' team by your service? You see, we're more like Christ whom we're serving, because Jesus laid in front of these men. He didn't have to serve them, but he did, because of his humility, because of his leadership, because of his servant heart and his servant attitude. That's what God wants from us. What are you going to be doing next Sunday? I hope you'll be being more like Christ. The second thing we see in this passage, if you'll notice verse 6, is that serving allows us to show our love for others. Notice verse 6 down through verse 11. The Bible says that Jesus came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." And Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, then you have no share with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, that not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Now, he wasn't trying to be disrespectful. He was trying to say to Jesus, "Jesus, no, I'm your servant. You're not my servant. No, you're not going to wash my feet. No. And so Jesus said, "Look, if I'm not washing your feet, I don't have any part with you." And he responds very, very quickly, and he says, "Well, look, if that's the case, then give me a shower with it," right? You know, I mean, that's pretty smart. So verse number 9. He says, "Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head." And then Jesus said to him in verse 10, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.'" Now, Peter did not understand what the Lord was doing. So instead of waiting for an explanation and waiting for Jesus to kind of finish his thought and finish what was taking place, Peter, and you know Peter if you know anything about him, he jumps the gun and he begins to really tell Jesus what to do. Now let me say it again. He begins to tell Jesus what to do. Can I just throw in a very important lesson for all of us today? And the very important lesson is this: do not argue with God's will, Jesus' will. Do not argue with the work of God, and don't try to change it. Don't. Some of you have tried to go your own way. You've been Jonah a little bit, and you've known God's will, but you've gone the opposite way. Or God's been directing you and leading you, and you've questioned, and you've tried to change it, and you've tried to manipulate it. How'd that work out for you? Didn't work out too well, does it? I think one of the lessons you learn in this is don't try to change God's will. Don't try to change what the Lord is doing, and don't try to argue with it. Just understand it, be patient, realize that God is always working for His glory and our good, and as we understand that, then just be a part of it and allow God to mold and shape you into what He wants you to see. But Peter had a difficult time accepting, I think, Christ's ministry simply because he wasn't ready for it. You know, it takes a certain amount of humility and a certain amount of grace and a certain amount of love to be able to minister to someone. But may I say today, it also takes a certain amount of love and grace and humility to be able to receive service back from someone. And Peter wasn't spiritually ready for that just yet. Now, was Jesus developing him as a disciple? Yes. Ultimately, where's Peter going to be in Acts? He's going to be the one that's preaching salvation. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. He's preaching that. But what's Jesus doing all along? He's developing him. He's growing him. He's maturing him. What's God doing in all of our lives? He's developing us. He's maturing us. He's teaching us. He's leading us. And we have to be strong enough to be able to accept that from the Lord, because He loves us and He cares for us. And the Bible says to us in the book of Proverbs that even as a father disciplines a child, he does that because of love. And God disciplines us because He loves us, because He's trying to mature us and develop us and help us to grow into what He wants us to be. And so Jesus served His disciples to show them that He loved them. He served them to show that He had love for others. It wasn't just love for God. It wasn't just love for Himself. He loved them and He loved others. What's the two great commandments? We should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then we should love others as ourselves. That's everything. Everything. The Ten Commandments go to those two. As you understand God in the Old Testament, and you understand Jesus in the New Testament, you understand the Holy Spirit living inside of us. then what is that? It's all about loving God and loving others, and that's what Jesus was demonstrating. I wonder today what kind of talent and what kind of gift, what kind of ability that God has given you to show love for Him and to show love for others. I wonder today, what talent has God given you? Now, many times people will respond and they'll say, well, Pastor, I really don't have a special talent. You know, I can't preach and I can't teach and I can't sing. And unfortunately, sometimes that's the only talents that we recognize or Christians recognize in the church. I see a lot of moms out here today. I see a lot of mothers, I see a lot of grandmothers that are out here today. You've raised a child, you've raised several children. Some of you have been a part of a big family, and even as a part of a big family, you are the mom, the second mom in charge or the second dad in charge. Well, if you've got that kind of experience, could you help out in the nursery? Could you help out in watching children? Could you help out with children's church? Could you help out in serving in the kids' ministry in some capacity? I believe that you could. It may be that you're just changing a diaper. It may be that you're teaching a lesson. It may be that you're singing a song and you're just being crowd control. But whatever that is, what are you doing? You're showing the love of Christ. You're helping develop other people and you're helping point them to Jesus. That's what you're doing. Some of you work on a regular basis, and even with the military, and you're always up in front of people. Now, you're leading meetings, you're communicating, you're doing some kind of a presentation, you're traveling, and you're meeting new people and new people and new people all the time. Well, if that's what you do on a regular basis, hey, you need to get involved in the greeter ministry. You need to get involved in be a part of guest services, welcoming our guests today. Hey, how many of you are glad to see Sam Uhlenbrock at the front door today with an umbrella? Amen? Amen for that. Amen for that. And so, hey, that's a big part. That's a huge part. And you may say, that's just a little part. It's a huge part of what God has called us to do. It's not just standing here and teaching. It's not just standing here with a microphone and singing. It's about all of us doing something for the cause of Christ to show our love to one another and ultimately point people to Jesus. As a reminder today, those who sometimes don't use their gifts, they don't use their talents and their abilities, sometimes they can often lose them. Now, some of you have kids or grandkids that are in high school now and they're taking algebra or geometry. And they say, hey, I've got a question about algebra. Mom, can you help me with that? And you're like, oh, sure, no problem. I was a pretty good student in high school in algebra. And then they throw some equation in front of you that you've not seen in about 25 years, and you're like, I have no idea what that means. And your teenage son or teenage daughter looks at you and said, well, I thought you were good in algebra, Mom. What do we always say? You know, if we don't use it, we lose it. We all understand how that happens from time to time. I say this respectfully, but I say it out of need, and I say it in a sense of trying to motivate you. But there's some of you that used to serve here at this church, maybe some other churches that you were involved in, and used to be really, heavily involved. I mean, you were there, you gave a lot of time. But for whatever reason in recent years, you've not been able to do so. And I understand that health issues cause some things. I understand that aging also causes some abilities not to be able to be what they used to be. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that some that used to be really involved and some that used to be participating and were doing a lot of things have just kind of backed away and you're just not really participating. You're not really being involved like you used to be. Ask why. May I tell you today that we need every person and not just to fill in a gap. Listen, I was the youngest. I'm an only child. I was the youngest in my family and the oldest, just to be honest with you. I'm an only child, and my parents were the youngest of their family. And I may not be the smartest person in the world when it comes to being book smarts, and I may not just score off the charts when it comes to intelligence, but I do think I have some common sense. And you know where that common sense came from? It came from me as a younger boy and my parents being younger people, being around older people all the time. And you know what happens when you're around older people all the time who love you and care for you and want to help develop you? You know what they do for you is they teach you and they train you and they show you what to do and they show you what not to do and they point you in the right direction and they keep you from things that are going to be harmful to you because they've got years of experience that you don't as a younger person. May I say this to you? You that are older a little bit, more mature Christians in a sense, Listen, we need you. We need your wisdom. We need your sense in the terms of teaching and discipling. Young people need that. And young people, may I say to you, don't push off someone that's older than you. I promise you, you need their wisdom. You need their experience. You need their judgment in your life. And so if you used to be serving, but you're not now, we're missing something here at our church. People are missing your, not just your opinions, but people are missing your wisdom that you can impart to them. We're missing that. It's important to be involved. I often think about Matthew chapter 25, the parable of talents. The one that had five made 10, the one that had two made 4, but the one that had one didn't make any more. And what happened? That servant was cast away. I don't want you to be cast away. I don't want our ministry to be cast away. I don't want to be cast away. I want to take whatever talents and abilities and want-tos that I have and be able to be used of God in whatever capacity that might be. I believe if you want to have influence over someone for the cause of Christ, I believe it's important that you get involved. I believe it's important that you show love for Christ. I believe it's important that you minister to them and serve them. And by the way, that's not just inside this church. That's also outside the church as well. You know, is it important that someone's there for nursery? Is it important someone greets you? Is it important that someone is in the sound booth, in the media booth? And is it someone, all of those things important? Yes. But your ministry outside these walls is of equal or greater value, because you're ministering to people that aren't saved. You're ministering to people that are hurting. You're ministering to people that don't know Jesus. And you're serving them, you're loving them, you're caring for them, and that's showing the love of Christ, and that's showing love for another. I remember, again, I'm adding to my testimony, if you'll allow me to do that this morning. And I started attending church, and I started getting involved and started serving, and we had a youth choir that sang, and I'm not the best of singers in the world, but man, I got up there to sing, and I did something very smart. I stood beside the guy that could sing the best. So when he sang, when his mouth moved, mine moved, and it looked like we were really good together. It's the way to do it. And, you know, I started singing in the youth choir. Well, our youth choir, we would sing at different places, and sometimes it was at a nursing home. We had a kind of a local association, a local conference of churches, and I started getting involved in that and in leadership positions there. I started calling my pastor and saying, hey, if you're out visiting and stuff, do you mind if I tag along and be involved with that? He said, sure. After he picked his, you know, the phone up off the floor of a teenager calling him and said, hey, can I go visiting with you? And he said, sure, that's no problem. Yes, you can do that. Started working at the church, whatever capacity that was. If it was a work day, or sometimes our teenagers we'd just get together and we'd do something at the church. We'd work, and we were part of that. We did fundraising activities. And again, whatever it was, we were involved. I was involved, and I was serving. Now, what did that do for me? Well, it helped me to grow. But you know what it did outside of that? We started seeing other teenagers come to church. We started seeing other teenagers get saved. We started seeing our youth group go like this. And it started to spread where, honestly, in our local community, at our high school, if you didn't come to this church and participate in this youth group and really be a Christian, then you just wasn't cool. I'm just being honest. Now, was that because of me? No. Was I a part of that? Yes. Such to the part, and I realize things are different now, but the keynote speaker at my high school graduation, the largest graduating class that my high school has ever had, the keynote speaker was my pastor. It's a little different today, isn't it? That was my pastor. That's what kind of influence we had in our community. That's what kind of influence we had among people. What was that? It was because we loved Jesus, Jesus loved us, and we were willing to share that love with others. That's what it was about. And we were serving, we were getting involved. And I promise you, you may not think it makes a difference, but it does. It does. Let me give you one final thought this morning. That serving enables us to leave a mark of influence. Notice just a few more verses here. Verse 12. The Bible says that when Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? And you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so am I. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I think the world thinks that happiness comes, success comes from those that serve us. But according to what Jesus teaches us, that real happiness, real success, real joy, real purpose, real fulfillment comes from us serving others. That's what Jesus was saying. Notice verse 16 for a second. He says, a servant is not greater than his master. So if the master, follow this logic for a second, becomes a slave, where does that put the slave? What it does is it puts the servant and the master together on the same level. When you understand the ministry of Jesus Christ, what did you understand? The Bible says that he didn't think it was robbery to be counted equal with God, but the Bible says that he took on the form of man and he became a servant. And he humbled himself. And he humbled himself so much that he was willing to take on the cross of Calvary so that men, women, boys, and girls could be saved and know what eternal salvation is all about. He came down so that we could go up. And I stand here today as a pastor and as a preacher and as a servant. And I stand here today as a Christian. And I stand here today not because of who I am and not because of the talents and the abilities I have. I stand here today because Jesus loved me. Jesus died for me. And I accepted him as my Lord and Savior and committed myself to live for him. And if you want to serve God, it's going to be the same way. It's going to be the same way. And so as Jesus came to us, he came to us and he left a mark of influence. I look back over my life from my parents to other family members to friends to youth workers to pastors to bosses to employers to my wife, my children, you, other churches. I look at all the people who have served me or served alongside with me, and I've served them and I've served alongside with them, and their lives and their testimony and their wisdom and their motivation has left a mark on me to who I am today. Jesus left the ultimate mark of influence in salvation. But every day, every week, God has enabled us not just to be able to sing and to preach and to teach in church, but God has enabled us to be a mark in our community, to be a mark in our family, to influence them with the gospel, to influence them with the love of Christ so that they can be saved and they can know what eternal salvation is all about. And that's what Jesus was doing. Because I'm doing this because I love you. I'm doing this because I'm showing you an example, and you'll be happy, you'll be prosperous, you'll be blessed if you'll do what I'm doing, if you'll serve in humility and in love. There's a Casting Crowns song that asks the question, if we are the body, if we are Christ's body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? Why aren't his feet going? Is it possible to answer those questions that they pose in that song? Is it possible then that if we are the body and we are, is it possible that we're not serving? Is it possible that we're not putting our best effort? Is it possible that we're just enjoying being served and kind of taking it easy, and we're not giving, we're not sacrificing? You see, I believe a person who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, who has truly been saved and committed their life to live for them, I believe those individuals are going to want to worship God. I don't think there'll be a question mark. If you truly are saved and you're truly committed to following Christ, there should be a want to when it comes to worshiping God. Well, then if you're worshiping God, and you're finding out about who he is and what he's able to do, then what happens? Then you want to know more about him. And as you become to want to know more about him, you want to read his word. You want to pray and talk with him. You want to be in Bible study. You want to be in worship services. You want to be involved in church. Why? So that you can learn and grow and become a stronger disciple. Well, if I'm truly saved and worshiping God and I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm becoming a disciple, then if I'm becoming a disciple of Christ, then what am I doing next? I'm serving. I'm sharing the love of Jesus. I'm being involved. I'm doing whatever is needed in the church to further the work of the gospel, to further the work of the ministry. That's what I'm wanting to do. Little gravesite in Connecticut is a tombstone. It's a gravesite, a gravestone, and it's for Fanny Crosby. Some of you know who Fanny Crosby is. And on that tombstone simply says this, she hath done what she could. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 Christian hymns, and she was completely blind. She hath done what she could. You know, sometimes we compare ourselves, and we think, well, I wish I could sing, and I wish I could teach, and I wish I was cool, and I wish I could do. And we start comparing ourselves to others. Sometimes we may not have the experience that somebody else has. Sometimes we may not have the education that somebody else has. Sometimes we may not have had the opportunities that other people have had. But I promise you, I believe God has gifted every single individual to do something. To do something. We may not be able to save every person, but we can save someone. We may not be able to do everything, but we can do something. We may not be able to serve in every capacity possible, but we can serve in some area. I'm asking you today, are you serving? But more than serving, I'm asking you today, do you have a heart that wants to? A heart that wants to. I mean, do you really love the Lord enough? Are you really growing enough as a Christian to where you just want to and you want to serve? What are you going to be doing next Sunday? This Sunday you came back to church. What are you going to be doing next Sunday? Today I want to end our service much like I did last Sunday morning, because it seemed to be very responsive in the sense of God speaking to your heart, and you were very responsive in what you did. So if you would, I'm going to ask you to be as quiet as possible. Nobody going out. Ushers are not going out. Nobody's running to the bathroom. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads for just a moment. You're bowing your heads and you're closing your eyes in just a moment of meditation, a moment of kind of silent praying. And today I'm asking you, are you serving? And if you're not serving in the church or even outside the church, I'm asking you today to start. I gave you the visual illustration last week of a ladder. And I ask you to maybe just to climb one rung on that ladder. You may be starting at the ground and it's the first step. You may be two or three steps up on that ladder, but I'm asking you to take another step.